nutrition. And more than just nutrition, because I mean, I think there would not be any one of us in here that would say nutrition's not important. But what the greater concern or the greater thing to me is, what is the Adventist health message meant to you? Maybe in your own life. Maybe it didn't have any impact. But Adventists have been known, which has been to its detriment at times and also to its asset at times with their health message. But I'd like to hear from you of some of your own experiences with, quote, the Adventist health message. Go ahead.
I have an experience. My mother became Adventist when I was a teenager.
Mm-hmm.
And it was at a tent evangelistic thing in Houston. And Marshall Kelly, the singer, the gospel Adventist singer, was the pastor of that thing. And he found out that I was an artist. And this changed my life. Mm-hmm. He found out I was an artist. I was just a kid there visiting. And he asked me to do a poster. He said, I want you to do a poster of things that we can do.
Mm-hmm.
He said, and he said, people always focus on what we can't do.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember doing that poster, and I was saying, there's a lot of things we can do. Mm-hmm. Because we were new, and I, you know, as a teenager, I'm thinking, oh, I can no longer do this, this.
Right.
I mean, he just capitalized on that and started, that changed my whole mindset.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that the reason we have this map in these holy words
mm-hmm.
is for quality.
Mm-hmm.
The quality, highest quality of life. It's not about the length. It's not about how long we're going to live. But while we are here, the highest quality of life. God wants us to be happy and whole
mm-hmm.
and, you know, and healthy.
So to you, the Adventist health message is about quality and having
about
a quality of
quality
life.
Quality of life in a sinful world.
Okay.
Having a good quality of life while
okay.
we're here. Yeah,
how about the rest of you? What's been your experience, Trent?
Well, over the years, it's just consistently been my experience. That's often one of the first things that they notice, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it can be a way to, I guess, open the door to talk to them about other things about God,
mm-hmm.
you know, maybe even other things about the Adventist church.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so it's you, in your experience, it's been the thing that people talk about first
and
often.
They notice maybe the first thing, you know.
Okay.
Like, oh, we're going to go have hot dogs. Oh, you don't eat hot dogs? Well, no, I don't eat pork.
Mm.
Oh, really? Why not? You know, what's wrong with you? I mean, whatever.
Right.
I mean, you know, when I was in high school, I went to public high school. I went to Adventist Junior High and then public high school. But I'd bring Vigilant Salad Sandwich every day. And that was just the talk of the whole cafeteria.
Okay. How about the rest of you? I'm not so sure his has not been similar to others, but what's the rest of your experience?
About a month ago, we went to a funeral of a friend of ours' father, and afterwards, the woman came up and said, y'all are Seventh-day Adventists, and I've really been intrigued about your health message, because I got to the TV and happened to turn on and found 3ABN, and they were talking about the health message, and then through our mutual friend, and they said, y'all are Adventists. And I said, yes. She goes, well, I'm just very intrigued about your whole religion and your because of what I understand about your healthy living. And, and so we, of course, invited her to church. She hadn't come yet, but there's an inroad where the health messages got her totally interested in that.
Okay.
And then that's led to her. She also said, I'm also very interested about the Sabbath. And I've seen that through 3 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
So it has a very positive effect in my life. Going back, it's had a positive and negative effect where the negative aspect of it is how the church in the past has used it.
Okay.
And how we have presented it maybe many times up front and more centered than Christ and our relationship with Christ. It's been the focal point
mm-hmm.
in a lot of times. And then also to me, and I have to admit right up front, I am a weird person. I really enjoy exercise.
Mm-hmm.
And it's to me, it's part of the health message, because
mm-hmm.
the health message should not be just nutrition.
Mm-hmm.
It is health. It's not just eating. And I think a lot of Adventists don't visualize the health message as being healthy,
mm-hmm.
where they just look at it as just
what you eat. Okay? Okay, how about the rest of you? Go ahead.
In the hospital, it's very interesting when an Adventist comes in, because a lot of times on the allergy part of their chart is listed pork products.
We're allergic to them.
There are a lot of our dyes and things that we use in the hospital that are iodine-based. And so it's, you know, people go into a panic, like, do we have to premedicate this patient before we can do this test on them? Bernie, because they don't eat shrimp.
Right.
Bernie went through that, and he had a funny story. They came in and asked him, like, 5 times, are you allergic to this? He says, no, I'm not allergic to it. I just choose not to eat these foods. Mm-hmm. Well, why would you choose not to eat these foods? I'm sure you're not allergic to them. And I said, I had 5 questions in a row, and finally he just had to say, look, I am not allergic. I just choose not to eat them. So...
Okay, I've never heard that. That's an interesting perspective, allergic. How about the rest of you? What's been your experience? Go ahead.
Okay, my story doesn't lead to anybody asking about the church, but it's interesting on the vegetarian.
Uh-huh.
Several years ago, I had a job in Dallas, and I brought my food to eat, mm-hmm. and they were real curious, and they, you know, what's this, whatever, and I said, well, I'm vegetarian, and then they started asking questions, because the person before me had come in, and she was real unhealthy. And she could hardly walk down the hall. And she said, oh, I feel so much better now that I became a vegetarian. So, every day they wanted to see what I had to eat because they said, man, you're healthy and everything.
Uh-huh.
So it's a concept.
That's interesting because it does, unfortunately, it's been seen and used, as Charles said, about you eat your way to heaven. And yet, what your experience is, it's not about eating your way to heaven. It's about walking down the hall. It's about walking down the hall and being able to walk upright. How about the rest? Anybody else have anything about the health message? Go ahead.
To me, the health message reminds us, it should remind us, and it does remind us, to care for our bodies, but we are the temple of the Holy Ghost.
Okay.
Amen.
So it's about caring for our bodies. Go ahead.
I'm like Charles. I'm a sports fanatic. Mm-hmm. I ride bikes, swim, work out. Mm-hmm. On my job, yesterday, one of my supervisors' grandmother passed. He went to New York. We got him a card, gave him some money. So when he came back, he said, the next day, he brought some picnic blankets at work. Mm-hmm. So I walked into the squad room, and they said, think you want a picnic blanket? I said, I don't eat pork. Mm-hmm. You know, or it's a vegetarian picking a blanket. I get kind of like a little jokes, you know, because I know I don't eat, you know, pork. So it's a vegetarian picking a blanket. So mm-hmm. anyway. But a couple guys at work that have changed their eating habits mm-hmm. because I don't eat pork stuff, mm-hmm. changed their diet. A lot of guys exercise now because I come in and I work out and I come in. Man, you're so fit. So a lot of guys start riding bikes. Let's go ride bikes. So it has a positive effect.
Okay, it has a positive effect. I saw a hand over here.
I went to Loma Linda University, and there's no four of us in here, maybe others. Loma Linda University, which is our church's premier healthcare institution, has a motto, to make man whole. It didn't say to make man cholesterol free.
Right.
It's to make man whole. And that includes the physical, the mental, and the spiritual. Mm-hmm. And I agree with what's being said here. It is a total balance. It's not just food. It's not just calorie intake mm-hmm. either. It's a whole picture of the mental, the psychological, mm-hmm. the peace of life, water, fresh air, the whole bit. Mm-hmm. But I really appreciate the central theme being to make man whole. So you look
right.
at the whole picture.
Right. And I think that's so important because it's become segmentized in a way where we just talk about what we eat, but that's not making man whole. I mean, when we talk about the whole, we have to look at all of it. And unfortunately, sometimes it's been presented, and growing up as an Adventist, vegetarian, you know, it wasn't a big deal to me. till about 10th, 11th grade, went to public school. Then it was a big deal. So it became a way of almost it kind of separated, kind of alienated, but then people became intrigued, like you're talking about. And there was but sometimes that which is different, we tend to almost hang on to because it gives us definition instead of what is it meant for. Go ahead.
One distinction that I've tried to make in understanding the health message is that the health message was brought about really in the late 1800s, early 1900s, and in that era, in that context, there were a lot of things that needed to be addressed at that time, and it gave us a kind of a blueprint of how to eat, how to take care of ourselves that are very true today. And some things that I realized weren't a part of when it was originally written were things like processed foods, soft drinks, and things like that, that now are very much of a cultural, we're inundated with things that really don't necessarily have a specific reference to, but yet really does matter. And, so much of, the focus back in when it was originally written were on, coffee and tea, meat, and food preparation, and things like that. And they're very much true today, and yet things that we're dealing with today in terms of 2010 are things like, grabbing bags of chips and Domino's pizza delivery and, let's get some soda because we're thirsty and, this type of thing. And it's just completely different in this day and age. And yet I think we can still use, our founding message to apply it. And we just have to sort of reapply it in today's terms.
Okay, so it's and that's really an important thing. It always has to become relevant to our world today. And you think about, well, why are we studying a Sabbath school class about it? Because you look at the early church, it became a dividing point. It became a point where we separate ourselves, because the early church was made up of individuals who followed Jesus Christ, but they had a Jewish background. And then from their Jewish background, they're supposed to go to the whole world. But, oh, wait, you're supposed to become like us. And then it became a division point. And that's what happened with Peter. In Acts chapter 10, in verse 10, it talks about his vision. Well, Ron, would you look that up? Do you have a Bible? Would you, Acts 10, read to about 19? And I guess that's to me is very relevant, because what was happening in the early church is what can happen today. And I guess this to me was a real good example of how it became a dividing point among the people. 10:10? Yeah, and about 19 or 20.
While he was praying and waiting for dinner, he was given a vision.
Now that's an interesting thing, praying and waiting for dinner. Have you ever waited for dinner? Go ahead.
In this vision, he saw heaven open and a huge sheet descending to earth, held up by its four corners. Inside the sheet were all kinds of unclean animals, snakes, and wild birds. As he looked, he heard a voice say, "Are you hungry, Peter? Get up and kill and eat." Peter answered, "No, Lord, I've never eaten anything that is considered impure or unclean." The voice spoke again, saying, "Don't call common or unclean what God has made clean." This happened three times, and the sheet was pulled back to heaven. While Peter was trying to figure out what this vision meant, the three men whom Cornelius had sent found the house of Simon the tanner. They stood at the gate and called out to see if anyone was home and if this was the place where Peter was staying. Peter was still on the roof trying to figure out the vision when the Holy Spirit spoke to him. "There are three men downstairs looking for you. You need to go down and see them. They will ask you to go with them. Don't hesitate, because I'm the one who sent them here to find you."
Okay, so it goes on, I mean, and it talks about how Peter would not have maybe associated with these individuals because they were unclean. And you know, that verse there, that what's God's made clean or don't call unclean, that one is the one that people like to quote and say, okay, this means if you pray before God, you can eat whatever you want because God's made it clean. But they're missing the whole point. The whole point of that whole thing he read there was about how we tend to isolate ourselves. How we tend to decide this is good, this is bad, and we got to, you know, and that we're missing out on understanding how it all comes together. And if we believe, and like Ernie and Rob have been talking about, knowing God's ministry, and that it's our job to bring Him, not to bring Him, to share what God has done for us, but then to let the Holy Spirit work with those people, then it's not our job to sit there and tell them, well, you do this so I can't associate. When you say, oh, it's a vegetarian pig in a blanket, yeah, where's the, you know, you become part of the experience. They have connection with you because there's almost an amusement now. They can try to kid you about that. Mm-hmm. Who knows what that effect is? But sometimes we use it to separate ourselves. We use it to kind of define ourselves and say, okay, we're not like this. We're better. We all like that. I mean, you know, I work with a lot of the young kids, and sometimes these kids, out of deprived feelings, are always wanting to prove they're better. You know, this little six-year-old wanted to play me basketball in his room. We had this little basketball goal that you with a foam on it. Well, you know, part of what I do with these kids is stimulate them to realize, hey, you want to play me? Sure. Bat the ball down. Well, then he started wanting to hit me. You could see how his orientation was, I've got to define myself as better than you. I've got to prove that I can beat you. And finally I said, well, you know, if you want to win, here, let me step aside. You can just get it all you want. It was no fun for him. Why not? Because he didn't know how to define himself. And I guess to me that's what our challenge is as Seventh-day Adventists and the health message is to make sure we define it as a quality like you were talking about. And you really, it goes back before 1800s. You know, you look at what God instructed the children of Israel. Imagine these people coming together, hundreds of thousands of them, and all the issues of health you would have in them all moving in one accord. You know, diseases, sanitation issues, health issues. That was the purpose of it. Go ahead, you were going to say something? Oh, I saw your hand move. Go ahead.
I think that, you know, God from the beginning, like you said, from the very beginning, when He created this world, He always had our so He wanted us to prosper and be mm-hmm. And that has always been His goal. And I think it has always been Satan's goal to pervert it. Mm-hmm. And he doesn't care which direction it goes.
Oh, absolutely.
A group of Adventists who have been strained under vegetarianism mm-hmm. that you just got to get out. Or if you've been so totally ignorant of health laws that you've eaten anything under the sun mm-hmm. and didn't even know the difference. Mm-hmm. The devil didn't care where he gets you out.
That's right.
Because you're not healthy.
Yeah.
And like you said, more than just nutrition, it's total health.
Mm-hmm.
And for my story, I had a grandmother who lived to be 103 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And she laid down and went to sleep, never took medication, didn't have a pain. Excellent memory, mm-hmm. and she laid down and went to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
On my father's side of the family, who was a five-generation Adventist, on my mother's side of the family, I had all kinds of relatives that died in their 60s with all kind of issues and diseases mm-hmm. and pains and mm-hmm. trauma. And looking at the two, I'll take that side.
Absolutely.
And it just, to me, it just didn't, it's like, why would you want to suffer and be in pain?
Mm-hmm.
Why would you want to go through that?
Right.
And God's ideal, He said, I just want you to prosper mm-hmm. and be in the best.
Well, think about the children of Israel, like Ernie and Rob have talked about. Why were they given the land they were given? That was there because of all, how it was a central for everything else. And it was meant to be an example of what happens to you if you under love and follow God's guidelines. Well, it became perverted. And that's often what happens. I mean, like you said, I think that God, the devil doesn't mind if he only gets us 5%. That's fine. If he gets us confused about this or making this the issue or making the what we eat the focus, then that's all he wants. But it doesn't invalidate the basic principles of health. I mean, none of you will go out there and get the hose and put it in your gas car, in your gas tank. Because you understand the basic sun, how it was manufactured. You understand that it has to have this to do it. So I think when we look at God's principles of health, we're looking at the creator of our being. And if you know, the creator would know better than anybody else what we're meant to do. Go ahead.
Somewhere in the lesson, I think it may have been on Monday, I appreciated reading where, first the diet was, mm-hmm. health of the plants,
right.
the
fruit, mm-hmm. seeds,
things of the land, and then how man was affected, how Adam and Eve were affected when they had to actually kill the animal, the same animal that Adam had the opportunity to name.
That's an interesting thing.
Well, that really struck me because I was thinking, that's powerful. Mm-hmm. You know, now the reality of what they had done set in for them. Mm-hmm. And the same beautiful creatures that they had a chance to walk around and be free with, mm-hmm. now they had to be afraid of, or they had to capture and kill
right.
and sacrifice.
Right.
But those very
I hadn't thought of that. That's a very good point. You know, you think about how that came about and that dynamic. And that process, and to me, that would be just a reminder of what their choices were. And how the recognition that this was brought about. And I think a lot of health things are the same for us in life. Sometimes they're reminders. I know when I have certain things go on, I think, ooh, maybe I better think about this a little more. You then become a little more thoughtful. And I think sometimes that's what health struggles might be. It creates a thoughtfulness about who we are. And then a recognition that we're not God. That we are dependent upon God. And that we are finite beings. Go ahead.
Some years back, Mildred and I had attended a funeral in Marshall, Texas. And we needed a place to stay. And her cousin, whose husband had passed away, took us over to his aunt's house to stay at, mm-hmm. with her. Mm-hmm. And here's this big house. She's living by herself. This little lady is in her 80s. And she's so happy to have company because she hadn't had any in a long time.
Right.
And, of course, we got a nice bed to sleep in. We were sleeping in. Next morning, I woke up to the smell of ham, bacon. We got up, we got dressed, and went to the kitchen, and here's a breakfast prepared for King. All the favorite things I liked when I was a kid. And here's she said, it's just such a pleasure to be able to fix a big breakfast again for somebody. She said, ever since my husband and my kids are gone, she said, I haven't been able to do it. And I just got up this morning and said, I'm going to prepare a big breakfast for you. Now, what would you do if you were in the place of Builder tonight?
That's a good question. What would you do?
Yes.
What would you do?
Eat it.
You would eat it.
I'd sit down and eat it.
You know what you responded to? You responded to the person. She was excited to have somebody to fix food for. She was thrilled that you were there. She was a part of your... I mean, this was just a joy to her.
That's right.
And that speaks volumes about the relationship. You know, and how we could have missed the moment and said, well, let's talk about... What would she have thought? Who knows? But the reality is, you had a relationship. Go ahead, Charles.
I've kind of a funny story. We used to live in Kansas, and the company I was with had kind of a tight group of top management. And we were all going up to Colorado to go skiing. It was in the van, had four couples in the van driving all night to Colorado. And just a week before, or a couple weeks before, we went to one of the other couple's house for a barbecue, and we had this really good barbecue, and it was good. And and didn't think anything of it. And on the way up there, somehow somebody asked about her being a vegetarian and eating in church and everything, and we said we didn't eat pork. This woman that we had ate at their house just got real quiet, and for the next day or two, she wouldn't hardly talk. I mean, she was just like, she was devastated, and finally he says, what's wrong with you? Because she's usually very outgoing. She goes, I don't know how to tell y'all this, but I fed y'all pork. What is it going to do to you?
How is it going
to? Do you have to go to confession? Are you going to be kicked out of church? It bothered her for 2 days because she fed us pork and didn't tell us it was pork. We didn't know it. Of course, we lived still alive. But it was devastating to her, but it led to a lot of other conversations. That, you know, we don't have to go ask for forgiveness. And, you know, it's not that kind of thing.
Right.
How it affected her was just amazing. Like I said, 2 days she wouldn't even talk.
Interesting. Go ahead.
I just wanted to kind of tell the other side of the story from Mr. Willard's. Remember, my mother became Adventist when I was a teenager, so one of my sisters and I had a real close friend. We spent our summers in Louisiana on my grandparents' farm. Mm-hmm. And I remember when we found out that we weren't supposed to eat pork anymore, we told my grandmother, and she said, you know, we go to these people's house for dinner and you have to eat whatever they serve. Well, I wasn't smart enough and I had no growth in the walk or anything. All I knew was they said, don't eat any pork. Oh, I got my butt beat. When I got home, my grandmother said, I told you to eat pebbles in front. I mean, she put me in a corner and that affected me again for years. I had a dream after she passed away that she came to me and said, I'm so sorry I whipped you for not eating pork. I mean, because she never said anything else. She was mad at me, and I was like, oh, my God, I'm severing my relationship, you know, that kind of thing. That's fast out.
Yeah.
So, again, our walk with the Lord, thank God, is a journey. And we have an opportunity with growth to know when relationship is the deciding factor over,
absolutely,
you know, drawing that line. I can't do that. I can't, you know,
yeah.
Talk to people. It's about people.
Well, it is.
It's about God,
right?
And it's about us displaying His love,
right?
I didn't know any better.
It's really true. I looked up on the internet Adventist Seventh-day Adventist health message, and I found this, and I was so impressed with this that I really wanted to read it. The relationship of one's religion and healthful living traces back to the Levitical laws on health and hygiene given to the ancient Israelites while in the wilderness of their Exodus experiences. The purpose certainly included hygiene principles necessary to prevent and combat communicable diseases made possible by such gathering of people who lived and traveled together in a desert environment. Issues of sanitation were addressed, principles of healthful living were emphasized in order to keep the desert travelers robust in body, mind, and soul. Later, fasting appears as a ready remedy for those who sought special powers or healing, for those seeking discernment or signs of repentance. Later, the New Testament drew attention to matters of temperance or self-control, here again emphasizing the importance of making decisions that would give the believer an advantage in the development of his body, mind, and soul. The believer who practiced self-control would have more discernment, be able to endure hardships, and be in a better position to bring under control totally the body, mind, and soul. Such teachings have been lost over the centuries. By the 19th century, mankind came to new understandings of the relationship of health and hygiene and overall health of the population. The second half of the 19th century saw a dramatic increase in the awareness of sanitation and cleanliness, how foods affect health, the use of water, air, and exercise in the prevention and treatment of disease. Various hydrotherapies were introduced. The consumption of healthy foods, i.e. graham crackers. You ever thought of graham crackers? Graham crackers, the introduction of dry cereals, and proper use of fruits and vegetables were highlighted. For mental and emotional health, sanitariums came into being which addressed the aforementioned health principles and added the care of gardens and of working outdoors in an attempt to combat the increase of stress and nervous disorders found in an ever-increasing industrial society. During this time, some Adventist church health leaders and health professionals assessed the exploring interest in health and hygiene and carefully gleaned principles that were an enduring nature. By combining the biblical principles found in Leviticus law, the emphasis on self-control, with the emerging health and hygiene principles of 19th century, the Seventh-day Adventist Church developed a unique teaching for the prevention and treatment of disease that stood the test of time. Seventh-day Adventists saw that the body, mind, and soul is organs that respond favorably to fresh air, sanitary, and hygiene principles. Further, they saw a balance between working and conditioning exercises. A special emphasis had been placed on self-control, issues such as abstaining from injurious tobacco practices, alcohol, and the avoidance of patent remedies of the day in favor of natural remedies. The increased care for hygiene and sanitation, a strong emphasis on plain and simple prepared foods, all of which came to fuller appreciation in the later 20th century. The last quarter of the 20th century has witnessed the introduction of health principles for reducing fat and adding high fiber to the diet, leading to a lighter or moderate use of meat, dairy products is preferable. This very teaching is basic to the Adventist teaching of abstaining from flesh food, the greater daily use of fruits and vegetables, and light to moderate use of dairy products, which in nutrition world be advocacy of a lacto over vegetarian diet. The Church's 150 years of denouncing smoking is now supported in scientific understanding of health problems associated with tobacco. I think we have to understand time period. You look at some of the things that were coming out in the 1800s and early 1900s. Smoking was the thing. Now now it's almost become the opposite. Anybody smoke thinks, well, they're not real smart or something. But you have to realize. So when we hear these things talked about and the way this presented, we were fighting a trend. It was the thing to smoke. I mean, the ads. You ever look at ads from the 20s and 30s about smoking? That was the good life. And here you look at what we were given information about the damage. While alcohol is still widely consumed, its deleterious effects are well known in the scientific community. The identification of natural remedies and reduced patent remedies that did more harm than good were identified by the Seventh-day Adventist health-conscious practitioners many years before science supported the theory. The Seventh-day Adventist mission populations in the third world countries are known for their sanitation and hygiene practices, earning the name of clean people. Today, Americans sit down to breakfast on dry cereals and various meatless, frozen, or canned entrees developed directly from grain and soy sources, thus bypassing the need for eating flesh foods. These foods were first developed in the Adventist healthcare institution and food factories. Health-conscious people today and those entering the new millennium are demanding a greater understanding of health and hygienic principles, many of which were first taught by Seventh-day Adventists or gleaned from the great variety of teachings that have emerged from the past two centuries. To me, that just speaks about this was all given for us to have understanding, to live a healthful, enjoyable life. And unfortunately, anything that I think that has a real potential to change people's lives, that's where the devil wants to pervert it. That's where he wants to get it really, let's make this a religious, make part of a relationship with God. Let's make it this way. Let's make it that if you eat it because you're responding to somebody, you're committing a sin. And those are the things that I think created that kind of isolation. And that's what the early church was struggling with. How do we incorporate people with different ideas, different beliefs? How do we understand we're all one body? And in that one body, how do we come together? And it's important to realize that the health principles are for us. That's God's way of saying, here, this is what's best. Because I'm the creator and I know. So, I think sometimes we always have our challenges of not making it something that defines us, but just a part of our lives. And I think as we learn how to understand the whole body, understand our whole self, obviously nutrition, exercise are a really important part of it. I love the way they talked about your ability to discern. When you have a clear head, any of you been in pain and try to think about something else? It's not real easy. That's a difficult thing. So we know, I think we're all meant to experience freedom in life. And I think the freedom in life is part of having a good nutrition. Now, you have to be careful because anything can become extreme. You can have people that say, oh, I don't need to see a doctor. I just can eat myself well. I don't need this. I can do that. So you can go to any extremities. And I think in danger of any extremities is you lose part of what the message is. The message is about how do we care for ourselves, and through understanding, caring for ourselves, do we recognize how God loves us and cares for us, and how richly blessed we are because He loves us.
Amen.
And that's important. So I think as we look at this health message, as we look at nutrition, as we look at any of this, this is all God's way of saying, here, I want to have you the very best. But this isn't meant to define yourself any better or worse. It's just meant, here, this is for you.
Amen.
Shall we pray? Dear God, we're so grateful when we get together on this Sabbath day and look at some of the principles you've outlined for us in life. We know you want the very best for us, and that your only desire is that we recognize who you are and that you want to be our God. We're so thankful for all the blessings. We're so thankful for all the things we have. We remember especially Ernie, who's in the hospital and struggling with some health issues. We're grateful for your presence with him, and we're grateful that he can sense your presence. As we continue on this Sabbath day, may we enjoy ourselves and experience the rejuvenation that you want us to experience. Amen.
Amen.